Oh, you mean this whole time Blue Cup Tools has been referring to the fact that we're a couple of tools who make AGS games? I never knew. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Blue Cup Tools podcast. How are you, Chandler?
I'm well, Gonzalez, but I think we should not waste any time on introductions and things like that because it's been too long and people need to know the facts.
You're absolutely right. What are the facts?
The facts are that it is no longer 2012. The facts are that we are living in a new year.
You're
right.
We
have passed the apocalypse. We've survived the apocalypse. Well done on that, by the way. I thought your work in surviving the apocalypse was splendid.
Thank you. I spent a lot of money on my nuclear bunker, which, as it turns out, was not. But you know what? It's fine because...
Well, good for parties.
Well, yeah, it is good for parties. And it's also good for storing all those extra bicycles that I picked up on the street following
the
apocalypse.
And I don't know what I'm going to do with this enormous bottle cap collection I've got now, but... I guess my dreams of riches weren't to be.
May I make a suggestion?
Please tell me.
Tiddlywinks.
Yeah, that'll work.
You can become.
You've.
You can become the new.
You've
Tiddlywinks
shown me that.
Of Australia.
Maybe I could. Yeah, maybe I could do that. It's a good idea. Thank you.
Sure.
Your advice and wisdom, as ever, is appreciated.
I do what I can. So Chandler, tell me. What do you
Hello.
Think? What do you? 2013 is a new year, as you say. It's our first podcast of the new year. It might be our only podcast.
It is.
Of the new year. Who knows? But
no, we're not that lazy.
No,
close, but not quite.
You're right. So 2013 means that there's going to be a lot of new games coming out this year. Are there any that you're particularly looking
new
forward
games.
To?
Totally, I'm looking forward to Ben Jordan 9, 10, and 23. I'm really excited about those, you know.
I see. Just as I'm excited, just as I'm excited about the 50 games that you'll be releasing this week.
Thank you. I'm glad somebody understands. But no, I'm excited about the stuff I'm working on. But there's a few things that I'm kind of looking forward to playing. Montreal is working on a new Thief game, and maybe that'll be out this year. So I'm excited to see what they do with that, because it's been a long time since the third Thief game. And that was nice and atmospheric, but I think it could be done, you know, slightly better with new graphics. Mm-hmm. Daedalic are obviously going to release a million adventure games, as they did this year. They've got, I think, Farewell to Deponia, or Goodbye to Deponia. Anyway, the completion of the Deponia installment, which looks amazing as the other Deponia games. So I have to admit, I've just started playing Deponia, so I can't really comment on that, but I'm already really enjoying it. And yeah, there's a lot of games that I'm interested in trying, but not many adventure games that I know of yet, so that waits to see. What about you?
I'm also looking forward to a few games. I'm looking forward to The Last of Us, and I'm looking forward to...
Yeah.
If watch
the whole world is looking forward to The Last of Us.
Well, yeah, I'm basically on the bandwagon. I'm looking forward to all the giant AAA titles that everybody else is looking forward to. So, well, most of them. I'm looking forward to Watch Dogs if that comes out this year. I'm also, my interest in Tomb Raider has sort of gotten a bit more piqued lately, because I only ever played the original. Of the original series, I only played Tomb Raider 2, so I'm not, like, a huge Tomb Raider fan. But
yeah,
I'm kind of interested in this reboot. I even though reboots are kind of a dime a dozen nowadays.
I don't know, it's been the subject of some controversy with the whole, you know, the suggestion of rape and everything like that. But I'll leave it to see. You know what happens. I have to admit, I pre-ordered a game the other day, Gonzalez.
Oh yeah? What did you pre-order?
Yeah. I pre-ordered Devil May Cry, and I've never played a Devil May Cry game in my life.
Oh!
But wow. I love Ninja Theory's Heavenly Sword. Why did I get them mixed up? And Enslave Odyssey to the West was fantastic. So I just want to see what they do next.
Oh, really? They're the guys.
I told myself. Sword. Yeah, they are.
See,
so
I
they've taken on that license.
I tried a demo of Heavenly Sword, and I didn't really care for it. I thought it was too...
Enslave is better.
Yeah, I thought it was too dependent on QTEs, as we call them in the biz.
Enslaved is much better. Yeah.
Well, I'll keep that in mind. So also, another question, aside from games that you're looking forward to, what would you say was your game of the year of 2012?
Dishonored.
Yeah, mine too.
Man, I'm...
That was
easy. I'm not ashamed. Yeah, I'm not ashamed of, you know, of the fact I'm a huge Deus Ex fan and I love games like Thief and stuff like that. So, come on, how could I not say Dishonored? It had everything from the moody setting, the sort of gameplay where you could choose combat or stealth, lethal or non-lethal, a number of skills to choose from, you know, so it's more like a role-playing game than a shooter at some points.
So I like Dishonored. I liked it the first time I played it. I told you about this. I liked Dishonored the first time I played it, but I grew to love it more the more times I played through it. Just because...
We played very different styles the first time through. I played a very stealthy, non-lethal playthrough, and you played quite a violent playthrough.
Yeah, it was more of a medium violence playthrough. I didn't kill every single person. I avoided combat when I could, but if somebody saw me, I just went out all out and killed them. But when I've now played through the game three times, and each time I've enjoyed it more, and I've found different things, and it surprised me by how drastically different the final mission and the endings are, depending on how chaotic you play through. So, good on them.
I like the idea of consequence like that, yeah. I mean, there are other games that I liked. I really like Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning, and I really like Botanicula. There was Resonance, Primordia has just come out. It was a year of good games. You know, I mean, I remember we said at the start how, oh man, there's not much coming out this year, but it turned out to be a pretty good year, you know?
Yeah, although there was a bit of a drought towards the middle, it was quality over quantity, if I can be cheesy and use that old tired phrase.
Well, I mean, it fits. I'd rather have two really good games than 10 sort of mediocre ones. I think one thing I'll always think of 2012 as the year that started Kickstarter in video games big time.
Oh, man, yeah. Absolutely. That was...
I mean, after Double Fine's thing in March, how many video game Kickstarters were there?
A lot. Now, the question is, 2013 will probably see the first video game Kickstarters that fail. And as terrible...
Well, there's already been one that failed.
Really? Which one? I haven't been up to date.
I can't remember, but... No, I can't remember who it was, but it wasn't a big one, but it was, you know, they raised a sizable amount of money and ran out.
I see.
So, I don't know, did you... See, before this year, I'd only pledged to Resonance, which was sort of not much, you know. But
right.
Then this year came along and it was just Kickstarters everywhere.
Yeah.
I pledged to Obsidian's Entertainment Project Eternity, obviously. Because, you know, Planescape Torment fanboy. And I found out a couple of days ago that Brian Fargo is working on a spiritual sequel to Planescape Torment, another Torment game in a different setting, which there's no way I can't be majorly excited about that. So there's at least one Kickstarter I'm going to pledge to this year. Any Kickstarters that caught your attention?
A few caught my attention, but I haven't pledged to a single one. I've only pledged to... Well, I am a bit of a tightwad. I figure there's going to be plenty of other people pledging. I'll pledge by buying the game. I did pledge to a couple of Indiegogo campaigns, which were Creed Malay's The Big Sheep and Andale's...
I pledged to that.
Yeah, and Andale's The Samaritan Paradox. So
I pledged to that as well.
Yeah.
What good Samaritans we are.
It's a bit of a paradox, though, if why I pledged to indies and not triple A's. So, moving on. Why don't we talk about? Why don't we talk about what 2013 has in store for us personally, as far as game releases go? Do you have anything in the pipeline that you'd like to maybe talk about that might be coming out this year?
My God, I have so much in the pipeline, Gonzalez.
Why does that not surprise me in the least?
I've already talked about Ordis and Blackwell 5, yeah. So I don't want to dwell on them too much. But, you know, I've got other stuff. I mean, of course I've got other stuff. At the moment, I'm working on a game with DKH of the AGS forums. He recently posted a video of it. It's a submarine game. It's a funny sort of story, because DKH and I have been working on an RTS game based in the AGS engine called Troopers for quite a while. So, you know, I was used to doing a bit of art for him, and we have similar tastes in games. We first met when AGS had its little StarCraft League going, and he and I used to play together, and I was about the middle of the AGS League, and he was definitely the top, so he used to kick my butt all the time. But he was making this RTS, and I was like, dude, that's amazing. And eventually it ended up that I was doing some graphics for him. Mm-hmm. And then I played Aquanox 1 and 2 around the start of last year. Captain Nemo suggested that I try them, and I loved both the games. They were fantastic. And I'd said to DKH at some point, I'm like, man, I would love to make like a little indie homage to Aquanox, you know, like a little submarine game where you've got action and you've got story and, you know, you're shooting things and you're listening to dialogue and all the stuff that you do in Aquanox. So he took up a university course of computer science, and it turns out that his lecturer is one of the guys that coded on Aquanox.
And what a tiny world.
I know, and also he coded on Deus Ex Human Revolution, so I'm like, well, this guy's a genius, you know. I love this guy. And he was like, DKH said to me, he goes, I have to make a Frogger clone, but slightly different for my university course. I'm like, well, why don't we do one with submarines underwater and make an Aquanox tribute? And so he was like, hell yeah. Absolutely. So it started off as a Frogger clone, and now it isn't very much like a Frogger clone at all. But yeah, so that's how that game got started.
That's good.
So I'm currently knee-deep in XML documents, designing levels for that and writing story for it and drawing assets for it. What about you, Gonzalez? Obviously, you've told us a little bit about your project. Are you willing to share any more, or are you...
Well, I'll tell you a few things. I'll tell you that I'm drawing a sprite for it right now, which has really weird hair.
I can approve of that.
Yeah, and I'll tell you that I just recently finished a couple of very inspirational pieces of media, one being I finished reading The Great Gatsby, finally, and I watched a movie called Lawless about bootleggers in the Prohibition era. So, take what you will from that.
It's the right sort of setting for your game.
Yeah, I suppose it could be. So, yeah. I'm finishing up my sort of demo, if you will, in quotation marks, which I've been working on for the past couple of months, and passing that along. And hopefully, I will make an official announcement as to all the details about my game within the next month or so. So,
wow, if you're, one if month.
You're, yeah, if you're. If you listeners are all at all interested in that, you know, keep an eye out. I'll be talking about, and once I actually make the release or make the announcement, I'll probably be talking about that all the friggin' time. And you'll say, "God, shut up, Grunislav. Why didn't you just keep a lid
be
on
quiet.
It?" Yeah, we don't want to hear about your stupid game anymore.
It's the Blue Cup Tools podcast. It's not the Grunislav's new game podcast.
Exactly.
Stop hogging up all that airtime.
Yeah.
With your narcissism.
Exactly.
I've started already and you haven't even started. I'm picking on you before it even happens. Just to
on top of that, you smell like cabbage. Why don't you
Well, you always
alone.
What about games that you've been playing? What have you been playing recently? I know you finished The Walking Dead a while ago.
Oh, yeah, that was a while ago. Well, I got...
Did we already talk about that on the podcast? It's been 2 years since the podcast.
I don't remember. Who cares? I got XCOM Enemy Unknown for Christmas, and I was playing a lot of that. And then I went back and I played Dishonored for trophies, but I haven't picked up XCOM again. But I was enjoying that. I'm not really a huge RTS fan, but I like XCOM Enemy Unknown. I never played any of the other
Is it RTS? I thought it was squad-based, turn-based.
Yeah, okay. It is squad-based, turn-based. You've just brought to light my ignorance of genre definitions. Thank you for that.
That's
there,
fine.
There goes
my credibility. Because I'm like, wow, I thought they didn't change much.
There goes my credibility.
XCOM makes me laugh because... Yeah, man, everyone knows you're a fraud now. XCOM makes me laugh because it started out that we're going to do a XCOM first-person shooter. And I was like, oh, really? And then it turned out that they didn't do it at XCOM first-person shooter.
With Enemy Unknown, it was going to be a first-person shooter?
I don't know, but I don't know if it was that specific game, but I remember they were making an XCOM first-person shooter, and the next thing you know, suddenly it was a turn-based, squad-based strategy game.
That would have been really
cool. Which is nice.
But it's...
Well, it's no different from making Syndicate a first-person shooter, which they did last year. So, what do I mean? Well, play XCOM and go, hey, it's a strategy game, not a first-person shooter, and it's turn-based, squad-based, not real-time.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It is. Yeah.
I've been interested to try XCOM, but I've been playing everything else, so, you know, I haven't played it yet. I've been playing, man, this is the thing. Here's the thing. I started playing Final Fantasy XIII.
Oh, yeah. You've started playing a lot of games. Just today I was thinking about how you haven't finished Gabriel Knight.
No, I haven't finished Gabriel Knight yet. I got distracted, as I do. It's on my other computer, which is elsewhere. That's the problem with laptops.
It's in your tent. Oh, yeah! By the way, we haven't talked about these. I mean, not to derail our game.
Our lives have been an adventure.
But that's boring. Let's stop talking about games. Let's talk about more amusing things that the people want to know about. So, as we all know, you live in Australia.
Like, where have you been?
Where have
hang
I
on,
been?
Hang on, you first. Where have you been? Where have you been? I've missed you.
Well, I'll tell you. I was actually going to segue into your thing by using a bit of a personal anecdote. Because
well, let me start my thing first, then. No, that's fine. Okay.
Okay. So, I was going to say, as we all know, you live in Australia, and in Australia, it's now the winter time. No, wait, I'm wrong. It's the winter time here in my side of my neck of the woods in the northern hemisphere. For you in the southern hemisphere, it's summertime, and I was just in the southern
hemisphere.
Yeah, I was just in the summer, the southern, the summer hemisphere. Well, it is the summer hemisphere, but I was just in the southern hemisphere. I was in Chile for the past 4 days on assignment, and I was. And it sounds more fun if I say on assignment than I went for a job. But I was on assignment in Chile.
You were on a mission.
I was on a mission in Chile.
Posted at a secret base which had karaoke and mysterious women.
Yes, that's right. That's absolutely right. So, yeah, so I experienced a bit of the summer in January. And I have to say, it was hot. So I feel bad for all those people who live in the southern hemisphere right now who are in the summertime in January. But as I understand it, there are several methods of coping with said heat. Have you found any of those to your liking, Ben Chandler?
It's been pretty hot here, Gonzalez. I have to admit, we had a week where it didn't go below 40 in the day. 40 Celsius, that is, which I don't know how much it is in Fahrenheit, probably about 304.
That sounds about right.
And it was really hot. And
now who's the narcissist?
And I hate... You know I've always been one. And
it's
I hate the heat, right? So
you're pretty close. It's actually 104 Fahrenheit.
There you go. I was only 200 degrees off, which is what? Not much.
Kelvin? I don't know. Anyway. God, thank God you're in Kelvin.
So I decided last year after the summer, I said, you know what? Screw summer. I'm sick of hot and sick of heat and everything like this. I'm going to buy a tent. So I bought a tent, and then it sat all autumn and all of winter and all of spring waiting for summer, biding its time. And guess what? Summer came. So you know what I did? I marched out there with my tent and I set it up. And I've been sleeping for the last 3 weeks. I've been sleeping in a tent, and I slept inside for the first time in 3 weeks last night because it was quite heavy rain, not the game, and I didn't want to get ruined. So yeah, it's been kind of fun actually. It's almost like a bit of an adventure sleeping in a tent. I feel like Man versus the Wild or whatever it is.
That, yeah.
Except like I haven't drank my own wee wee yet. Okay, well, I've come close. In desperation, but not yet.
I see.
Well, it's a long way to go and get a glass of water if you're out in the yard sleeping in your tent in the middle of the night. And desperate times call for desperate measures. They do make a man do strange and unusual things.
Apparently. But, you know, sleeping out in a tent in the summer sounds like lordish behavior to me. And if you had servants to bring you water, if you had servants,
I need water, servants
like a lord, then you'd be all right. You wouldn't have to drink.
Bring
your
me cola and
together.
Yeah, I could just drink. I could drink purified servants wee wee.
Oh,
no, not
well,
together. I wouldn't put Nesquik in cola.
Okay. Well, good.
Why is it always wee wee? When I do things, is it always wee now? Is it because I made a game called Pip?
I don't know. You seem.
I don't know. This has been haunting me.
You seem to have a thing about urine. You're in trouble now. That should be your next game.
You're in a different country. We were the other day. Anyway, can we segue to your thing? I'm sick of talking about being in a tent.
Fine, that was quick. What was my thing?
Where you've been.
Oh, I was in Chile. That's it.
But didn't
there's
you
not
have
much
amazing
more
adventures?
To it. But,
tell
I
me
would...
of your amazing Chile. Or is there none?
I wouldn't call them amazing adventures. They were adventures. I got to wear a suit. That was fun.
Genius.
Yeah. The only reason I wore a suit was because I figured, you know, it wasn't casual like it is around here. I figured, you know, in Latin America they take their law a little bit more seriously. I might as well look the part. So, yeah.
Well, it's the law.
Yeah, it is the law.
It's the law. Gotta respect the law and uphold the law and obey the law.
But
we started this podcast.
You fought the law one, which was your airwave game, which I played recently.
It was, which you played the other day.
I did play the other day. Man, we're all over the place this episode.
We are. But when we started this episode, I made a commitment to covering the facts, Gonzalez, and there are facts that are left uncovered.
Oh, well, please.
There's things we need to talk about.
Turn over those rocks of truth and please tell us more. Man, I want to make a game called Rocks of... Well, I want to have a band called Rocks of Truth.
Let's do it. Yeah. You and I. We'll do songs. I'll play Led Zeppelin songs and you can sing in gibberish.
Okay.
Rocks of Truth.
Rocks of Truth.
Sounds We're good. Onto something here.
We are.
The last time we did a proper podcast, we discussed...
You mean
the
never?
Morales paradox? Yeah, the Morales paradox. Now,
oh yes,
I wanna, because this hasn't been completely covered. After we finished the podcast, one of our listeners, Darth Helmet 86, a man from the same state as me, Western Australia, the lovely, bright, shiny, sunny, and very hot city of Perth.
I thought you were going to say not inebriation because you don't drink, but I thought you were going to say the same state as you, confusion or something.
Oh, like very silly. Yeah.
Yes, that too.
Dazed and confused.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. He told me that in Police Quest 3, there is a woman whose surname is Morales. Can you clarify on this? Can you extrapolate from here?
You have just met. Yes, absolutely. Your partner is a very, very foul mouthed and angry woman named last name Morales.
Chris Jones? Oh.
No. Her name is something Officer Morales. And she turns out to be, spoiler alert for those who haven't played Police Quest 3, it turns out that she is actually a dirty cop, and she is in cahoots with the drug cartel that you're investigating throughout the whole game. And At the very end of the game, she dies. She gets shot in the head by
Morales.
Uh-huh. You don't encounter her ghost.
Morales. No, that's...
It is. But here's the thing.
But that
here's
doesn't matter.
There's a Walking Dead, not the game, but there's a unwinnable situation. If you forget to call for backup or something, or do something very trivial towards the earlier part of the game, you die at the very, very end of the game. Because she turns on you and you're in a basement and she shoots you. Yes, like
not good. She's bad. Morales. There's something about that name, but that's not all.
That's not all.
That's not all, Gonzalez.
Uh-uh.
You recently told me of another situation in which Morales occurs. The Morales paradox is once more evident.
We should have a segment every podcast where we highlight more Morales things that we've found.
Do you think there'll be that many?
Well, the rate that we're going at, it seems that we might be able to have enough material for one. Anyway.
We might get silenced. I think the Morales Committee or Society might come and silence us for uncovering the truth.
They might. But yes, you mentioned, I was watching a playthrough of The 11th Hour, the sequel to The Seventh Guest, not the book by Graham Bass, which, by the way, if you are not familiar with the book by Graham Bass, lovely
fantastic
book. Absolutely. Recently discovered that I still had it, and I'm very excited about it. So I was watching a playthrough of The 11th Hour, sequel to The Seventh Guest, because, like most kids in the mid-90s or the early 90s, I played The Seventh Guest, and being unaware of how terrible it was, I liked it. And
basically gullible.
Basically very gullible. But come on, I mean, it was a benchmark for new technology at the time. Everybody thought it was the next... It was better than sliced bread. I never got around to playing The 11th Hour, the sequel to The Seventh Guest. But part of me was curious because it continued the story. Not that there was really much of a story in The Seventh Guest, but it seemed that the production values were higher, which, to be fair, they were. Although they pretty much had the production values of a bad Lifetime movie of the week. And but at least they got rid of the bad blue screen and all that stuff. So anyway, to make a long story short, you play as a guy named Carl Denning, who is the host of a sort of Inside Edition or that type of program. I'm really dating myself by talking about Inside Edition. But anyway, it's called Case Unsolved, and his producer is a lady named Robin Morales. And Robin Morales Robin Morales has gone ahead in the game to investigate the mystery of the Stauff Mansion, and she disappears. So you, as Carl Denning, go and rescue her, and you go through the mansion, you solve the puzzles, and that typical thing. And you get treated to different... Every time you solve a puzzle, you get a little bit of a snippet of video, and you kind of have to piece it all together at the end of every chapter. And so, little by little, the story is revealed. But basically, at the end, it's revealed that Robin Morales has gone over to the dark side, and she's accepted a temptation by Stauff. Because, in case it wasn't painfully obvious, Stauff is an anagram of Faust, so it's heavily implied that Stauff is the devil.
Right.
And so he makes deals with people and takes their souls and lives forever and whatever. So she basically makes a deal with Stauff, and at the end you get the choice to pick between her and this other lady who's kind of been helping you the whole way, and this other lady who is the daughter of the devil, which is another story in and of itself, which we may get into. But if you pick Robin Morales, you end up dying, and it shows her watching a news report on TV about how your body was found, and she escapes the house intact. She doesn't die, but she basically has sold her soul to the devil, so she doesn't get out of that.
She's dead.
Yeah, she basically gets out of,
And if you don't pick her, if you pick the other female?
If you pick there's two other females. If you pick the daughter of the house, you it shows him kind of having sex with her, and then she turns into Stauf in a wig, and then he starts eating from a plate of spare ribs, and then says, "Oh, it's delicious. It's you," which doesn't make any sense.
Well, he's eating your ribs.
Yeah, he's apparently eating your ribs. And then if you pick the one in the middle, which is the good ending, then the house burns and they all celebrate.
And does Robin Morales die? Or does she
not
die? I want her to die at some point.
She
does. Her to die.
If you don't pick her, she basically gets... She stays trapped in the house.
And if you do pick her, she's sold her soul, so she's dead.
Right, so there's no happy ending for her either way.
There is no redemption for Robin Morales.
No. Robin Morales is damned too.
And I'm glad.
Yeah.
I'm glad, because she's a Morales.
Now can
and
I talk about...
And as we all know...
Can I talk about the daughter of the devil, the daughter of the house?
I'd like nothing more than for you to talk about, because I'm confused about this. She's the daughter of the house. The house is her father. How does this work?
The house is her father, Chandler. Well, as I said before, the plot of this game is akin to a Lifetime movie of the week. But it's
a really bad one.
A really, really bad one. The house is my father. The Marie story. That's what it should have been called. So there's a scene in the game, in the middle part of the game, towards about the middle chapter, I guess, in which it's revealed that Robin Morales, in her investigation, she's talking to a couple of locals in the town who survived an encounter with the house. One lady who has a prosthetic hand because she insists that a dog bit off her hand. And another one who's in a wheelchair. And she finds out through talking
to... Did the dog bite off her legs?
No, the dog did not bite off her legs. Although it probably would have made a more plausible story than the actual story. So
then the gate. Or
yeah.
Whatever it was.
So in her... Yeah, it was the gate. So in her investigation, Robin Morales goes to the doctor who treated the lady for her hand when she was a teenager, and she learns that there was another girl who went into the house with her. The plot thickens.
By thick, you mean dumb?
Yes. I do. So, meanwhile, we've been seeing sort of an interlude of this red-headed lady named Marie, who is very much implied to be a prostitute because she's sleeping with the owner of a motel, the motel where Robin Morales is staying. And she's also encouraging him to kill people, and he kills people and takes their bodies to the house, and he knocks 3 times on the door, and the door opens and the people get vacuum cleaned inside the house. So there's that going on. So Robin Morales...
That's a hot date if ever I heard one.
Oh yeah, sure. I've been on many of those. So Robin Morales continues her investigations, right? And she eventually learns that the other lady in the wheelchair does not want to talk about her experience in the house. So from meeting her to the span of about 3 hours later when it's nighttime, the wheelchair lady comes up to her, wherever she's staying, and she says, "I'm ready to tell you the truth now," in a surprising change of heart that only took a couple of hours. So she proceeds to tell her the story of the night that she and Hand Lady went into the house. And apparently they were in the house and there was something evil, and Hand Lady ran out and the gate shut and her hand got caught in the gate and her hand got deformed and mangled by the gate, and she insists that it was
Brilliant.
A dog that bit her. I don't know why you cover that up. Yes. I guess because she didn't want the town thinking she was some sort of retard who went around getting her hand stuck in gates. I don't know.
The plot thickens.
Yes. So then, in what I described to you when I originally told you this as an infuriatingly lame attempt to be dark and edgy because it was a mature adult full motion video game, the wheelchair lady proceeds to mention how they were raped in the house, and they had previously
by the house.
Well, yes, but they had previously made mention of two boys who had run away and gone into the house, and they had gone chasing after them to find them. So when she says that they were raped, Robin Morales says in the most wooden delivery, "Oh, that's terrible. By who? Was it the boys?" And she says, "No, it wasn't the boys. It was the house." So they were raped by a house. I don't know how that happens, but they were raped by a house. And not only were they raped by the house, they both became pregnant as a result of said house rape. And Wheelchair Lady had an abortion in a back alley somewhere and got an infection and lost the use of her legs, which is why she's in the wheelchair. Meanwhile, Hand Lady had the baby, and the baby is Marie Gasp, who is the redheaded whore.
Daughter of the house.
Yes, who's a daughter of the house, who's making this guy kill people to feed the house. So there you go.
Right. Who is her dad?
I don't know if her dad is the house or if her dad is Stauff, but her dad is a house, so... What do you do for Father's Day if your dad is a house? Do you give it a fresh coat of paint or something?
Put up some nice curtains. Mow the lawn.
Do you think? No, never mind. I'm not even going to go there.
I don't want to know. I'm trying to think of. See, people always complain about the plot twist in Indigo Prophecy or Fahrenheit, depending on where you live in the world. But that seems quite tame and logical compared to the entire plot of this game.
Well, when you put things into perspective...
And I know adventure games Wow, that's a really convoluted and stupid plot.
It really is.
When you say the plot thickens,
yeah.
It really does thicken.
Yeah. And I heard that Trilobite, depending on what part of the world you're in, is trying to, or was working on, a third Seventh Guest entry into the series, or...
Which would be like... Yeah.
Yeah,
which
I don't...
Which would be like, well, the 20th.
The 21st century, something. I don't know.
I can safely say that I've never played either of the two games, so... Yeah, I don't know. You haven't really painted it in a very appealing light, to be honest. And I like playing weird games.
If you're going to subject yourself to that, I would recommend The Seventh Guest over The Eleventh Hour, definitely. Okay. I mean, The Seventh Guest, even though the acting is awful and the puzzles are kind of tricky, it has its certain charm to it. It hasn't aged very well, but it's still, you can see how in its time it would have been considered a really revolutionary sort of thing. But, yeah.
Well, I haven't played any games lately with any Morales in. I'm actually quite ashamed that I haven't found any more Morales, but I've played some interesting games lately. I've been playing some older games, to be honest. I told you I started playing Final Fantasy XIII.
Yes.
Which is... I'm not sure how to describe it. I have to admit, I started playing Final Fantasy XIII with the sole intent of mocking it. Which seems like a very negative thing to do, and I feel kind of bad about that. So, anyway, I started playing. I hated Final Fantasy X. Let me make this extremely clear. I played about an hour of it, and it was probably the worst gaming experience of my entire life. I hated it. So I went into Final Fantasy XIII not expecting very much, and I was pleasantly surprised. It's got a nice mix of you know, story and gameplay. There's a lot of cutscenes. You've talked to me while I was playing it, and there's so many cutscenes, which is nice, I have to be quite frank. It's nice to see a game that focuses on the story. That's something. The combat actually gets reasonably complex, and I'm actually stuck on a pretty hefty boss battle at the moment. There's one thing I hate about Final Fantasy, is the boss battles. I know we've covered boss battles, but these ones are just... ugh. They're pretty difficult. You can battle for like half an hour straight and then be taken out in a single move, which is, you know, that's frustrating. I've also been playing Dune, the original Dune, and I wrote about it. I should talk about a website that I've been writing for a bit called Fiction in the Machine. If you like adventure games, go and look it up. But
I like adventure games.
You should have a look at it, Gonzalez. I've been playing this game called Dune. It was a Cryo game. Now, Cryo games are rubbish. I want to make that really clear. I have played Cryo games, and I've never yet been impressed by a Cryo game. But their very first game, under the name of Cryo Interactive, because they made some games before this, was Dune. The original Dune game, released the same year as Westwood's Dune game, and it's lovely. It is the only mix between a real-time strategy and adventure game that I can think of. And it does it very well. I was really impressed. I've also been playing a first-person shooter called Strife, which was released in 1996. It is the last...
Yes, Strife.
It's the last commercial game built with the id Tech 1, the Doom engine, basically. And what I like about it so much is you get a lot of times... You know, these days you've got games like Deus Ex, you've got Dishonored. You've got first-person shooter games where you've got towns where you can walk around the town and talk to people and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But back in the Strife days, it was all shooting and, you know, blasting away everything and finding key cards. But Strife actually took effort to making you able to talk to everybody. You can walk through the town and talk to people. It's kind of cute because you can walk up to an enemy who's attacking you and press space on him, and he says something to you, like the game pauses and it goes into dialogue and it says something like, "Oh, we're gonna get you," or something like that, and then you can exit the dialogue and continue blasting away at him, which I thought was a kind of cute thing to do because it's entirely pointless. I mean, the game would not have suffered at all if they didn't put this in, but they did, and I love the fact that they did put that in. It's really nice to see.
I remember I played a demo for it when around the time it came out, and I remember being really impressed by the fact that it was basically a Doom, not clone, but it was very similar to Doom because it used the same engine. But you could talk to people like in an adventure game, and I thought, wow, this is interesting. And I seem to recall that you killed somebody in the town, a friendly character, a bunch of people in robes or something would come and swarm you and kill you as punishment.
Yeah, that's kind of the idea of the game. It's, you can go and do whatever you want, but there's Isaac Newton's third law. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. You can break the game. You can make it so that you've killed an important character and you can't finish the game. It's that simple.
That's too bad.
So, yeah. But it's nice. It's nice to see a game so early. And I have to say, when you compare it with other games of the time, the build engine, which was popularized by games like Blood and Duke Nukem 3D, Ken Silverman's build engine was becoming sort of the thing at the time. And compared to the build engine, you can see that this engine is pretty old and it's kind of lacking in terms of graphics and capabilities and technology and stuff like that. But it's still kind of fun to see how much thought they put into interactivity and, you know, giving you choice as a player. Speaking of the build engine, as over the Christmas break, I started and finished Redneck Rampage, which I had a lot of fun playing. I played it as a kid but never finished it, so I thought, you know what? It's time to finish Redneck Rampage. So yeah, that's one I finished. And I have to admit, I had a Mojo Nixon song stuck in my head for an entire week as a result. So, yeah. That's fine. I mean,
sure.
It's a pretty... when you compare it with games like Duke Nukem 3D and Blood, like the other popular build engine games, it's a pretty shallow game, but it's still cheap fun, you know.
Yeah.
It's got that old school of design where you have to use the auto map to find your way around levels, and yeah, it's good fun. I recommend it to anyone with a decent sense of humor and that likes shooter games.
Fair enough. Take that consideration into, good. Into consideration.
But good. So I've been playing lots of games. I've been making games. I've been playing games. I haven't finished a game for a while. The last game we did was Spaceman in Space, which obviously, you know, an apology to our podcast listeners for something. I don't remember what, because we never do anything wrong. But
yeah.
So I've been kind of quiet on the game releasing front for a while, but I'm still making games. I'm still playing games.
As I recall, there is a game that you and I began working on together on Christmas Eve that has still...
Oh, yeah. Released. Man, I forgot about that. That's going to be a terrible game when I release it. This is exciting. I should release that.
It's probably going to be worse than Spaceman in Space.
It'll probably be the worst AGS game released this year.
Probably. And that's saying something.
That's really setting a benchmark. That's a challenge.
Yeah.
To all other game designers out there.
That's
all
right.
All other AGS game designers.
If you can make a game then hats off to you. Because this game is going to be pretty bad.
I think you and I are probably the only two people that will laugh at it, but that doesn't matter.
Probably.
It's all about us.
Well, see, on the bright side, the fact that it's taken so long to come out is good, because I completely forgotten already all the dialogue I wrote for it, so there you go.
Great.
It'll be like playing it for the first time.
Which is a good and bad thing.
Yes, because it means that if I laugh, I'm laughing at something that I wrote, which is terribly narcissistic.
Perfect. No, I do that all the time. When I go and play my old games, I'm always laughing at my jokes, because I forget them.
Right.
When I watched you play Airwaves the other day, I forgot half the crap that's in that game. I'm like, ha!
Oh, dear.
Which is good. Which surprised me, because when I played through the Ben Jordan games, and you watched me play through them, it was...
Why are we...
You knew everything.
You did this. You realize you've
just it's interesting.
That we've watched each other play each other's games. That's really bizarre when from a point of view outside.
That's not weird. That's cool. That's not weird. It's not like we held hands while we did it.
No,
that
would have
been different.
Yeah, it would have been different, but still, it would have...
I think that they think it's cute, so I don't care. And they're allowed to write it in and say that. I'm putting that out there. Oh, yes. Yeah, you remembered all the stuff to do. Like, you remembered all the secrets, like how to make Ben the Easter egg in number 5 when he's in Japan and stuff like that. So, basically, it surprised me that you remembered all this stuff, and yet when I watch people play my games or I go back and play my games, I've forgotten everything completely. Oh my gosh.
To be fair, I've only released 10 games in the past 10 years. You've released about...
We did a count.
You and I
recently did a count. And including stupid stuff like our games and everything like that, we've both racked up about 25 releases.
You're absolutely right. Well, I see.
We are lords of AGS, you and I.
More like nerds of AGS.
It's so true. If only half of them hadn't been stupid shit.
I have to say, I was a nice trip down memory lane playing my old Hour games.
Yeah, that was fun. And
and
watching you play my Hour games, which were terrible.
Well, all Hour games, by definition, are terrible. Yours, at least.
Yeah.
Your character had a butt. He was a round blob, but he had a butt.
He had a butt. He had a butt crack.
He did.
Man, my juvenile humor is becoming more and more apparent. Oh my god, we should end this podcast.
Yes,
but do one and make it more serious. We should do a proper podcast again. But this has been fun. This has been nice. I've missed you, Gonzalo.
This was a proper podcast. I think we'll see what the fans say. If the fans like this new stream of consciousness style where we just talk crap about nothing at all, and well, we can still talk about important things as they come up. But,
like the Morales paradox.
Well, I was thinking more along the lines of, you know, advice and game design things.
Oh, man. People know how to make games. They don't need our help.
Oh, okay. Well, fair enough. It's a bit... Yeah, it's a bit...
No, we should... We should definitely go over some more AGS stuff, like some building the game stuff, but another time.
Yeah, when we're actually, you know, building games and not worried about Moraleses. But yes. Yeah, yeah. Well, okay. So we'll do more stuff like that. But for now, in the meantime...
And I promise this... Yes? I promise this to our listeners who are waiting eagerly after just finishing this amazing podcast that I've just listened to. I promise them this, that if I can't convince you to do another podcast soon, I will stand outside your window with my boombox and Peter Gabriel's In Your Eyes playing as loud as it can to convince you. Even if I have to fly all the way to Miami. That's my commitment.
I need you to listen to me right now. What is it, Chandler?
It's the podcast.
All right, we'll do podcasts. You've convinced me.
That's all I asked.
You've convinced me with your amazing arm strength to hold that giant boob box over your head for so long. How do you do it, Chandler?
I'm outside your window right now.
I see you. You're in the rain. Your hair is all drippy. And
this moment, this is magical right now. Can we say goodbye before this gets weird?
What do you mean before it gets weird? You have no one to blame but yourself for this, Chandler.
From everyone here at the Blue Capsules podcast, I would like to say thank you for listening.
Yes, goodbye. And-